spiritual warfare, and we will continue to talk about them for the next few weeks. And specifically in the upcoming weeks, we will talk about how to combat it. How do we engage the enemy? How do we go about combating this whole idea of spiritual warfare? And last week I said that warfare was between the flesh and the spirit. I think, however, it's important we spend a little bit of time this morning recognizing the flesh and the enemy as who it really is. It's hard to engage in a battle, right, if we don't know who we are engaging with, if we don't know who the enemy is, if we don't know who we're up against. If we don't know those things, it's really hard to partake in the battle if we can't see what our enemy is. And to that end, the title of the message this morning is Spiritual Warfare, Recognizing the Enemy. Recognizing the Enemy. C.S. Lewis authored a book called The Screwtape Letters. It's a collection of letters as written by a senior demon to one of his apprentices. And this is this apprentice is learning to be an effective enemy of Christians. So the senior demon, Screwtape, is kind of training his apprentice in the book. And this is what Screwtape writes to his apprentice, Wormwood. It's a great practice to get people to have malice and discontent with those they know and to have them do good things for those who are far away. And hatred becomes very real while love becomes imaginary. Now, I understand and I know, and I hope you do too, that C.S. Lewis is only using his kind of sanctified imagination in this book when he looks at demonic warfare. And these names are obviously make-believe for his book. But I do believe that he gives us some insight to the very real in dangerous schemes of the evil one. God's word tells us there is a dark world and our struggle is against these spiritual forces of evil. That's what God's word says that our struggle is against. You see, it's a very old-fashioned concept, and this is where I'm going to get into some statistics. To teach that Satan and his forces are real. You don't hear it anymore. It's not taught anymore. It's not taught that he is a real being who has an army of evil at his disposal. We don't teach that anymore. We don't like to talk about that anymore. That this evil is in the heavenly realm and is actively engaged in battle for our souls. It's a lost art. We don't talk about it anymore, but it's true. But God's word teaches us that this is absolutely the case. This is what the New York Times found when they did a study about the diminishing belief in the devil among Americans. And this is what they found, that 2/3 of Americans do not believe in hell or that Satan is a living entity. 2/3 of Americans believe that. In a random survey of 1,000 people, 62% said this: he is not real living being, he is not a real living being, but only a representation of evil. And of 149 million Americans believe that Satan has, are you ready for this, has no influence, but that Satan is just a symbol of evil. 149 million Americans believe that Satan has no influence. Apparently, those that think this way have never read the text that we're going to look at this morning. And so when we talk about 34 seconds of prayer, it's no wonder, because people don't believe in warfare. People don't believe in the devil. And if you don't believe in those things, then this whole idea of the necessity of prayer begins to diminish as well. Anyway, our text this morning comes from Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 12. Verses 10 through 12, and this is what it says. Finally, be strong in the Lord, in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against what? Against the devil's schemes that 149 million Americans don't believe even exist. Verse 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Years ago, Keith Green wrote a song. He wrote this song years ago, and think about how much worse it is even now. And the title of the song was, No One Believes in Me Anymore. And this is, as I said, what he wrote years ago. The first verse and chorus go like this. Oh, my job keeps getting easier as time keeps slipping away. I can imitate the brightest light and make the night look just like day. I put some truth in every lie to tickle itching ears. You know I'm drawing people just like flies, because they like what they hear. I'm gaining power by the hour. They're falling by the score. You know it's getting very simple now, because no one believes in me anymore. It is sad. It's a sad reality, and it's a sad truth. And this is a song that he wrote because he recognized it years ago. And think about how much worse it's gotten. So this morning, as we gear up for war, if we gear up for battle, I believe it's essential that God's people know who our enemy is, that he is very real, that he schemes and that he lies. And he is, and one of the most effective weapons he has is to make us believe the first principle that I want to talk about, and that our war is not against other people. Paul boldly states in verse 12 that our struggle is against flesh and blood. It's not against flesh and blood, sorry. But I cannot skip over this quickly because it might be one of the most important truths in spiritual warfare. See, an army which spends its time polishing its armor or using it to fight with one another will not be effective. But this is a tough issue. It's a tough issue to wrap our mind around that our battle is not against flesh and blood. Because when somebody stole something from you, it was actually a person doing it, right? When somebody gossiped about you and your family, and it was a person, it was a very real person that was spreading those hurtful tales. So when somebody stabs you in the back, it's a real person. When somebody treats you with a mean and judgmental attitude, it's a person. So you see, it's hard for us not to believe that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, because it's most oftentimes the people that hurt us the most. So how do I handle this situation where I know it's true? I know it's a person that hurt me. I know it's a person that said this. I know it's a person that did that. But God's word said your war is not against them. They hurt you. They said something. They did something. They spread lies. They stole something. They lied. They cheated. They hurt you in a significant way. And yet God's word says this: our struggle is not against them. First of all, I'd remind you, and I'd remind myself this morning, of the quote by the evangelist Billy Sunday. And this is what he said. He said, I know Satan is for real for two reasons. First, because the Bible says that he is. That should be reason enough. And second, because I've done business. Because I've done business with them. And let's face it, we've all done business with the devil. We've all done business with Satan. And here's what we need to understand when we think about this concept of our struggle not being against flesh and blood. We have to understand this concept that those people who have not been born again through Christ's sacrifice in the indwelling of the Holy Spirit are lost. They are lost. The evil one, the God of this world, is their master. Let's face it. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and God is not your master, then Satan is. And this is the concept that we really need to understand. Why should we expect any non-Holy Spirit-filled person to think, act, or speak like Christ? But we sometimes do, don't we? We think that everybody should speak like Christ or act like Christ or act in this way. But that's foolish. It's foolish for us to think that anybody that's not filled with the Spirit will act or sound or speak like Christ. Now, understand, it doesn't mean that what somebody does to you doesn't hurt. But the truth is that this truth should influence our response. But it's very clear in our text that Paul, the apostle, is writing to the believers who will be attacked by the evil one. He tells us, be strong in the Lord, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty, put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. So the text is very clear who our enemy is. Our text is very clear who we struggle against. And then the text is very clear that we must put on the full armor of God. If anyone knew what kind of dirty, evil fighter Satan is, it was the Apostle Paul. Did you know that Satan tried to destroy the church? No big surprise, Satan is still trying to destroy the church. And he tried to do it with division. And guess what he's still trying to do it with? He's still trying to do it with division. And in the text I'm going to read here in just a minute, it involved two apostles, two believers, two people who had already received the gift of the Spirit. And the two were Peter and Paul. Two very unlikely sources, if you will. And this is what it says in Galatians 2, verses 11 through 14. When Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face. These are the words of the Apostle Paul. So the Apostle Paul says, when Peter came to Antioch, I directly opposed him to his face because he was clearly in the wrong. Before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. And then in verse 14, when I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter in front of them all, you are a Jew, yet you are acting like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? Peter ministered primarily to the Jews. Circumcision was the physical act of obeying Abraham's covenant with God. But clearly, under the covenant of grace in Christ, it was no longer required for salvation. But some Jews made this act essential. Peter was afraid of offending them, if you will. So what did he do? He cut off relationships with the Gentiles. Paul calls him in. Peter, he says, listen to me. You don't live like the one under the law. Why do you demand that others do? As I said just a moment ago, think about this. This was after the Pentecost. This was after the gift of the Holy Spirit had been given to them. And it's no wonder why Peter would later write, be self-controlled and be alert. Your enemy, what does he say? Your enemy, the who? Your enemy, the devil, prowls along around like a lion, or like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. So again, Peter is even re-emphasizing who our enemy is. And then he goes on to say, resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same struggle. Our battle is not against people. It's against the fallen one from heaven and his forces. Revelation 12:4 tells us that his tail swept one-third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to earth. And listen what we are reminded of in Revelation 12:7. Revelation 12:7 says that Satan was defeated, and guess where he was thrown? Satan was defeated and he was thrown down to earth. Satan doesn't live in hell. Satan lives right here on earth. And he tries to make earth hell for us. That's what he does. Satan and his angels are not in hell. This is reserved for them at the end of time. He is here, and he is here on the earth, and he is here now. In Revelation 12:12 says, woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. Not only is the devil real, he lives here on earth with us. He is filled with fury. And you know why he's filled with fury? Because he knows his time is short. So he knows that his time has been determined, and he is going to wreak as much havoc on us in a shorter time as possible. You know what fury is? It's vented hatred. It's directed wrath. That's what the enemy, that's what the devil feels against us. He feels vented hatred, and he directs his wrath towards us. See, Satan lost. He hates God, and he leads an army of demons that hate God. And their hatred is vented at you and I. Isn't that nice? Satan was defeated. He was thrown down to earth. He hates God. He hates us. And he has an army of demonic angels who hate us as well. And their wrath is directed towards us. And yet we pray 34 seconds on a Sunday morning worship because we don't believe it. He wants to hurt what God loves the most. God loves us the most. And so it only makes sense that's what Satan wants to hurt the most. Are you getting a clear picture of our enemy? Are you getting a clear understanding of why it's not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, and the spiritual forces of this dark world? That's who our enemy is. That's who we are fighting. Here's what I believe that God is trying to teach us through his word as we prepare for the spiritual warfare. It takes spiritual weapons to overcome the enemy. This is the second principle I want to talk about this morning. It takes spiritual weapons to overcome the enemy. I can't emphasize this enough. And guess what one of our greatest spiritual weapons is? It's prayer. It's prayer. And yet we have eliminated it from our worship virtually. We've made it superficial. It's not our armor that we need to put on. It's God's. It's not our strength that we need for this battle. It's the mighty power of the Lord that we need. God has designed his church so that the greatest source of the strength is our Father. That's the way he set the church up, so that the greatest strength we can draw from is from God himself. Sometimes he moves spiritual mountains for us, but sometimes he knows one of the greatest strengths we have is to help each other carry the weight. You see, sometimes he will just come down and he'll move the mountain. And other times he'll come down and say, I'm not going to move the mountain, but what I need is for you to gather around someone and carry the weight for them. And as we prepare for war with the evil one, I encourage each of you to be the person who helps pick up the big rocks and picks up the big boulders and moves them instead of the person who has been influenced by Satan to throw them. Pick up a rock, pick up a weight and move it for someone. Don't be influenced by the enemy and instead throw it at someone. Listen to this biblical advice Paul gave to the Galatians in Galatians 6. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should do what? Should we stone them? Should we cast judgment? No, we should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you may be also tempted. Carry each other's burdens in this way that you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all the good things with the instructor. Three important action items for helping others and being prepared for spiritual warfare. What did the text say? Number one, people get caught in sin. We live in the flesh part of the time. So we get caught in sin. Even our brothers and sisters, even us, people who live by the Holy Spirit desire to greatly restore them, not crucify them. It should be our greatest desire to gently restore them and not crucify them. But yet we have people just watching out for us to slip up so that they can crucify us rather than gently restore us. The second thing that it said there was to watch yourself. I believe Paul's talking about the temptation of pride here. I'd never do that. My kids would never do that. My kids know better. I taught them not to steal. I taught them not to cheat. I don't covet. I know that's a sin. Really, how about gossip? I don't gossip. I've never talked about anybody. I've never got caught up in the gossip circle. How about pride? How about judgment? How about unforgiveness? No, I've not ever got caught up in any of those things. Our goal is to get to heaven. But here's the thing. It's also to help our brothers and sisters get there too. That's the goal. But yet, sometimes I feel like we're making it harder for them to get there. We're supposed to be making it easier. We don't need to do that because Satan works hard enough already to make it hard for them to get there. Please don't think that you're something if you're not. We're all sinners saved by grace and living by faith. Don't compare yourself to someone else. Jesus is our mentor and our model in our way of living, not someone else. And then finally, what did it say? It said, carry your own load. Here is the truth, and this is what I will end. It's the most vital truth for the church. Are you ready for this? A disciple is someone who has been moved from being a recipient of the church's mission to being responsible for the church's mission. At some point, somewhere along the way, you became a disciple because of what somebody did, somebody showed you, somebody said to you, somebody did something for you. And when you become a recipient of that grace, when you become a recipient of that love, when you become a recipient of that truth, it becomes our responsibility to be an outlet for that truth and an outlet for that love and an outlet for that grace. Scripture makes it very, very clear that the church's mission is to go into all the world and to make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and in the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that Jesus has commanded. That's my load. That's my load. And if you are a believer of Jesus Christ, that is your load too. That's what we are to do, is go therefore and make disciples. And there is no way in the world that we are going to be able to do that if we don't know who our enemy is, if we don't recognize who our enemy is, and if we are not prepared to engage our enemy. It's our battle strategy for spiritual warfare. It's what we are to be about. I'll close with this paragraph. People are not our enemy. Satan is our enemy. Just as God used people for good, Satan can use people for evil. Just as God can use us to do good, and we shouldn't think any highly of ourselves because we recognize that it's the Spirit of the God working in us and through us, so too we need to recognize that it's not the people, it's the devil working in and through someone. If we are to be effective in moving the mission forward, we must learn how to fight the enemy. And again, I just can't overstate it. Our enemy is not people. So we don't need to learn how to fight people. We need to learn how to fight the enemy, and that is Satan. And in the next few weeks, that's what we're going to do. We're going to look at how God's Word teaches us to engage in the battle, prepare for the battle, in how God's Word teaches us to defeat the enemy. Let's pray. Lord, you are a good, good Father. And Lord, you have given us what we need to defeat the enemy. Lord, forgive us when we lose sight of the fact that spiritual warfare is a real thing. Lord, forgive us when we lose sight of the fact that we don't need to pray as much anymore. Lord, we acknowledge that the enemy has been defeated. Lord, we acknowledge that he was kicked out of heaven and that he lives here on earth. Lord, we recognize that he is very real and very powerful. But Lord, we also recognize that you can empower us with everything that we need to wage war against the enemy and to defeat the enemy. And we thank you for that, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the reminder this morning that our struggle, our battle is not against people. It's not against lost people who have not yet known you or met you or who have not yet entered in a relationship with you. Our enemy is, and our battle is not against those who have and who have already received the gift of the Spirit, who in their flesh have acted out against us. Lord, it's not who our enemy is either. Lord, our enemy is Satan. We thank you for that reminder. And Lord, we look forward to the next several weeks as you teach us and show us and train us on how to defeat the enemy and how we can help people get to heaven and not make it harder for them. Amen.
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 Amen.